I'm not going to sing, by the way, so don't worry.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are.
Just give him the praise.
It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
All right. That's an awesome song. I just wanted to share that because that's like one of my favorite songs in it. And when you're walking in the spirit of love, you can just, it's an out-of-body experience with that song, that you can just like give him everything when you're singing that song, or when you're hearing that song, I should say. Either way, you can do it. But I want to start out with Proverbs 3. 5 through 10. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So trust in the Lord. That's what it's about. Not trusting in your own self, but in him doing the work in you. 40 years ago, I had, you know, we're all here for a reason. Somebody probably invited us to church or loved us up, or we're here for a reason. And I'm sure you can pinpoint who made a difference in your life. Well, 40 years ago, I was working at Campbell Chain for like 2 years. And I met a guy at lunch that was different from everybody else. He talked in a way that I just wasn't used to, and his name was Jim Cashman. And he made a difference in my life. And it was right at the time where I was accepting the Lord, 26 years old, so you know how old I am. 66, I'm sorry. Anyway, Jim was doing the work of the Lord, and he was sharing with me and loving on me, and we're still friends today. 40 years later. So I just wanted to recognize him because he played an important part in my life, along with my brother and my mother and my grandfather. But it was different then. It was more of just going to church and not really learning that much, more of a religious thing going to church. So anyway, That's pretty much the truth, what Proverbs says. And, you know, sometimes we could be in the shape we're in because we're not obedient to what he gave us. We don't honor him, maybe. Or we don't feel it's important in our lives. So sometimes we can look at that and reanalyze our life and say, well, could we make a change in a certain direction, whether it's spending time here, giving here, stepping out in faith? Everything's about stepping out in faith nowadays. I mean, we gotta go through these traffic lights and believe that they're all synced together. We don't think about it. We take it for granted. And, you know, there's been some accidents. People's messed up the lights or something. We just go along life, and we believe in them lights are synced, good. But all it takes is one accident, and you're looking every way and thinking, well, somebody could come through this light. You just got to be prepared at all times. Let's look at 9 verse 6. Well, you're on the ball. Okay. If anybody gets to it before I do, go ahead. A cheerful giver. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as his purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work, as it is written. So it's from our heart that we give. It's from our heart that we do the things we do. And when we obey, he blesses us in a lot of different ways. Not just a, you know, kindness and generosity and all that stuff is good, but, you know, when we obey him, when we step out, and it, like maybe we're uncomfortable about something to make a decision towards this, and but we step out in faith and believe that he's going to be there with us, that's where I think the most blessings come, because we took that step forward. We believed in him. We let him work. I wanted the music was awesome this morning. I think it was real appropriate. Whoever thought that out, I won't look at anybody in particular, but it was thought out. Took time to say, you know, what music do we want to play this morning? And I want to ask you, everybody here, how do you fight your battles when you have them? Also, is Jesus the center of it all? You know, God's motivation is to bless us, and because he loves us. That's why he wants to bless us, because he loves us. It all comes from him. He even says to test him. I used to go to a lot of social churches years ago, and well, I'd hate when they had that. You knew that Sunday was on tithes and offerings. Man, I hated that. I did everything I could to ask my wife, can we go away, you know, for the weekend? Seriously, because I was guilty. I mean, I was right out. I wasn't tithing. I mean, I was giving. When I look back at it, I was like, I mean, tight. Talking about tight. I mean, and then you wonder why things weren't going the way you would like them to. But that, I mean, tell you, I want to encourage anybody that test him. He comes through all the time. Even the little decisions and little things that you think are frivolous, he'll honor. So, giving is an opportunity. Either you believe God or you don't. That's the bottom line. So that's just the decisions we have to make on our own. Nobody can force us to do that. It comes from the heart. God's blessed me. I know that. A lot of different ways. So anyway, that's what I have to share this morning.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Praise God. That was a great word. Yeah. I love Scott. Scott is a man of character, integrity, a business owner, and he's so relatable. You know, he just lives it out, and I just appreciate that. So listen, I just have like three brief announcements, and we're going to dismiss the kids and then continue on in the service. So real quick, I'd like to welcome our guests. If it's your first time at York Christian Fellowship, welcome. If you haven't been here in a long time, thank you for coming. And if you do not have a home church, we'd love to be it. And if you do have a home church, praise God. We meet in different buildings. We're the same church family. Please stop by the Coffee Center after service, and you'll get a thank you $10 gift card to Sheetz for gas, and we just thank you so much. Oh yes, please fill out the little Connect card, so that's like our trade-off, so we can say thank you for coming. On that note, let's see, real quick, we have prayer for York this Thursday, September 24th. All that information is on our social media, on our website, so and we have a card in the back, Iglesia de Dios Pentecostal Misión Gao. I'm going to own it. Don't write me a note if I mispronounce that, but I tried. Okay. All right, and secondly, we have men's prayer breakfast this Saturday, September 7th at 7:45 downstairs. And if you want information about that, see Mark and Brian, which are speaking today. It's a great time for men to connect in friendship and pray and cover our house in prayer. Praise God for that. Tammy Salmon spoke a little bit last week about missions. She's back from Uganda. Tammy just has just a quick announcement. Just
I don't know about y'all, but I really appreciated especially the testimony that Mr. Scott gave to us. That was really awesome. So I'm going to start out with John chapter 7, verse 17. And I'm going to flip back to the Old Testament as well here. And I want to talk a little bit. God just put it on my heart this morning to talk about two of the most successful men in the Bible, King David and King Solomon. So that's where I'm headed. But I want to start with John chapter 7, verse 17. There we go. So, just a really awesome core verse here. If you want to test my teachings and discover where I receive them, and I'm reading from a different translation here. First, be passionate to do God's will, and then you will be able to discern if my teachings are from the heart of God or from my own opinions. And another verse, John 8, 32. And I'm going to read from a slightly different translation. For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives. So just be expecting. God wants to speak to every single one of you this morning, wherever you happen to be in your walk with him. So just I want to encourage you to take notes. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go back and look at that verse in Proverbs that Scott wrote. That Scott mentioned. So be encouraged to take notes. Go back and watch the video. Just like every Sunday, there's going to be a lot here that God wants to speak to you. And so be encouraged with that. Be expecting, amen? I'm expecting. God's going to minister to me up here, amen? All right. So with that, there's a couple more verses. Before I dig back into King David a little bit and King Solomon, I want to talk a little bit about our responsibility to do research and search the word. So Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. So I really felt like God wanted me to remind everyone, like, hey, we got to be responsible. When we hear a message, we've got to be responsible for searching the scripture and studying. There's a responsibility after this service for you to go get your Bible and study this out so you can receive directly what God's speaking to your heart, because that's what's going to bring life. You sitting here and just listening to the words being spoken here, it's going to be a blessing for you. But what God speaks to your heart, that is what is going to produce abundance in your life. Because the big part of this is we're talking about giving, we're going to talk about finances. But what's going to produce abundance in your life is God's word that he speaks to your heart that you obey. So I want to go also real quick to, let's see, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Here we go. And starting in verse 19, and I don't know if he's got that one up or not, but that's an important part of it. So starting in verse 19, it says, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said." In verse 21, it says, "But test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good." So again, it's our responsibility to test what's being spoken. And I just dare believe that as we men come up here and testify before you, God put it on my heart, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So as we testify about what God's doing in our life, there's going to be some prophetic words that come forth in the midst of this, and we're to test them. Amen? All right. So from here, we're going to go, and still kind of related to King David and King Solomon, we're going to go to Psalm 122. So when I was praying about what to say and where to start with giving and tithes and offerings, I just heard real clearly, bless Israel. And I just, God wants you to know, there's no formula for this. There's no precise step-by-step prescription for this. But I'm telling you, with all that I am, as sure as I'm standing here today, an important key, an important pattern to you walking in and receiving everything God has for you is for you to bless Israel. So I'm going to go to Psalm 122, starting in verse 6. And so just so you guys can see here, again, many of you know this, but just for those of you who perhaps don't, it says, "Pray and seek for Jerusalem's peace. All who love her will prosper." I'm going to say that again. "All who love her will prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace for those who dwell inside your walls and prosperity in your every palace. I will intercede for the sake of my family and friends who dwell there, that they may all live in peace. For the sake of your house, Yahweh our God, I will seek the welfare and prosperity of Jerusalem." God brought it to my attention several times within the last few years that one of the biggest financial breakthroughs I ever had in my life was when we were led by the Spirit to support two different ministries that were blessing Israel, that were actively involved in blessing the people of Israel. And, you know, pouring into, sowing into God's destiny for the nation of Israel, God's plans and purposes for the nation of Israel, is a completely separate thing from necessarily agreeing with all of the different factions perhaps within the Israeli government, right? Their government needs reform just like our government needs reform, right? So there's no contradiction here when we say we want to bless those who love Jerusalem. And I'm not going to mention those ministries, and actually we felt led to support a different ministry now than we did. Oh gosh, let me see here. Thank you, Jesus. So it was actually about 15 years ago, and there was two different ministries. We didn't even really think about this scripture at the time. We just felt like God was telling us to sow into these ministries. And so within a few years after doing that, there were huge financial breakthroughs in our life. There was a huge amount of debt. It was something pretty close to $50,000 to $60,000 worth of debt that got removed from our lives after we started doing that. And so I'm telling you that to say God's going to lead you in a way. It may not look the same as what Brianna and I did. You may be doing something different. It may just start with you praying. It may just start with you taking some time to pray every day. But I believe God will take it from there, actually, and have you do some substantial steps. Just like, you know, we try to support Miss Jarrell and Harvest of Blessings, right? We're praying for people out there, but then we take faith steps to back it up. And so be encouraged to seek God. I say that, and I believe God would have me tell you, be encouraged to seek God. Okay, God, what do you want me to do to bless Israel? Pray for that. Pray for peace of Jerusalem. Well, what can I do tangibly to sow into Israel? And there's actually a ton of Christian ministries out there that are all about that are into sowing into Israel, being a tangible blessing, but also representing the gospel of the kingdom there as well. And I would encourage you to find that. And even if it's just a one-time seed or it's a recurring small seed, whatever that looks like for you, just be encouraged. I think some of you need to hear. I just believe God's saying. Some of you need to hear. God, we're not to give up on Israel. God doesn't give up on Israel. Read Romans 9, 10, and 11. God doesn't give up on Israel. God doesn't give up on Israel any more than he gives up on us, the ecclesia, the church. And God's not giving up on the United States Republic either. In the same kind of thing. So that means we have a responsibility to do what he's calling us to do, to sow, to bless the body of Christ, right? To bless the United States Republic. God's going to give you the wisdom for that in the time we live in, especially. All right. So quickly into David and Solomon. So probably took a little bit too much time in that first section there. But there's some verses in 1 Chronicles 28 and 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And I'm not going to take the time to go through every single one of those verses. But I do believe God wants us to call out to focus on David here for a moment and remember and realize David was such a... you know, God called David a man after his own heart, and but yet he was despised by his own family. He was the runt. He was the least of his family. His dad, Jesse, was ashamed of him. And yet, as David encountered God and got to know him over years and years and years, God raised him up to be almost one of the most influential people in the whole world. And in 1 Chronicles 28, it talks about how he was preparing massive wealth, massive riches to pass on to his son Solomon with specific instruction. God wants to prepare your heart to build legacy wealth and to pass on legacy of faith, first and foremost, but also wealth to future generations. In the same way, God's no respecter of persons. What he did for David, he will do for you. And so Solomon saw, you know, how his dad got to get to know God, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, so let's go there real quick, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, starting in verse 7, this is a good part, and many of you guys have heard this before, right? Solomon asked for wisdom. So that night, God appeared to Solomon and said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied to God, "You showed great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me a king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly, for who could possibly govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies, or a long life, but rather you ask for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested. But I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame, such as no other king has had before you or ever will have in the future." So there's a lot there. So Solomon was getting to know God, and he asked God for wisdom. And I want to call your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 3, and it talks about Solomon's porch. And I don't have time to go through the entirety of it, but God pointed this out to me several times and reminded me of it as I was praying over this. The very first, and I encourage you to look it up for yourself, to look through it. Don't just take my word for it, right? 2 Chronicles chapter 3. The very first part of the temple that was to be a picture of mankind meeting with God and having a relationship with him and coming before a pure God by the blood of sacrifices, by blood of sacrifices of atonement, that was to be a picture of the relationship between God and man. The first part that God had Solomon build was the porch, was the entrance to that place of meeting. And so the wisdom here in all this is, bless Israel, build the porch, build the entrance in your life where you receive that, where you give time to God to receive that wisdom, to have that time to get to know Him as Daddy God, that He desires to just supply your need, period. Not because of anything you can do or anything you can give, but use what you do have in your hand to build that time in your life, that time of meeting with Him, that space of meeting with Him. So I just think it's, I don't know about you all, but I just think it's so profound. Probably the most successful person by any measure, he started there, started with that place of meeting. And so that's just wisdom for us. And not only was it an amazing place of meeting, place of entrance to the temple, but it was a legacy for future generations. So in John 10, 22 and 23, Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch in the temple of area. And then again, in Acts chapter 5, 12 through 14, the disciples met. And in fact, it says, and I'll go ahead and read that verse real quick, and this will be the last one because I'm probably out of time. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. Now, by the hands of the apostles, numerous and startling signs and wonders were performed among the people. And by common consent, they all met together at the temple in the covered porch walk called Solomon's. So I just want to encourage you, as you find those works of obedience, those acts of giving that God has for you, giving into this ministry and others, God wants to establish generational wealth and legacy that will affect future generations hundreds of years later. Just like he did for David and Solomon, he's setting you guys up to do the same. Amen? Praise God. All right. Give it up for Mr. Mark. Sorry for going long, Mr. Mark.
Okay, you got 10 more?
Yeah.
Morning.
Good morning.
Brian's a tough act to follow. I'm going to switch gears a little bit regarding tithes and offerings. We love, we give, we do as God does. I'm oversimplifying it, but we want to please God. We look to God. After coming to church, after receiving Jesus, we get a heart change. And we want to see what this is all about. Where we come to church, we give our heart to Jesus, and things just change from there. The person we were is not anymore, and little by little, we become a different person. And one way we do that is by reading the Word and following God's example. So Ephesians 5:31 4:31 to 5:2 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Follow God's example in everything that you do. And I know that's tough. I know we're not perfect little Jesus dolls or Jesus robots walking around, and life can be difficult, and the devil throws curveballs at us and all kinds of stuff throughout our day and our week. But if we consistently, like our pastors tell us, look in the Word, read the Word daily, absorb what God's telling us in the Word, follow God's example in everything that you do. That's how you do that, by reading the Word, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave Himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like sweet perfume to him. That's saying a whole lot. So when we follow, the best way I can think of to follow God's example of who his character is, who he is to take a look at the way he loves us. And the best example of that is in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish. Everyone. He was looking for the whole world. He was not turning anybody out. He wanted the whole world not to perish but have eternal life. So this thing called love that he does so well and we're all working at through his example, I just wanted to take a look at love a little bit. So in 1 Corinthians 13, the first couple of verses say, if I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything but didn't love others, what good would that be? What's the point? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move without love, I would be no good to anybody. Just lost my spot. If I gave everything to the poor, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. So everything God does, has done throughout the Bible, you can see that there was love involved. And as we take a look at that, as we follow that idea, when God loves, as God loves us, he tends to give things to us. He gives his gifts. And I think that makes it so important that we should follow that example. And in 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude, does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith and is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. That's the love as we know it through God. That's his example to us of what love is, not the world's love, but God's love. So with keeping that in mind, when God loves for God so loved the world, he loved and therefore he gave. So keeping that in mind, we need to do the same thing. Not give like the Pharisees did just to look good. I gave $100 a day. That's awesome. That's not the point. The point is do it with a right heart. Do it with love. And focus your giving on, ask God where to give. I've had conversations with my daughter, Tammy, about different missionaries she knows all over the world, places you wouldn't think that anybody would want to go to. And these people do it, including Tammy. They're missionaries because they love Jesus and they love people. And amazing things are happening. So, thank you. And here comes Michael.
Good morning, everybody. So Sherry asked me to do this about 2.5 months ago. And out of obligation, I said, sure, I'd love to. And for the next 2 months, my stomach was in knots. So I'm going to ask my wife for just a quick drink of water, because now all of a sudden I've got dry mouth. All right. When I was thinking about this, much of what came to me was in Luke. And I thought, cool, who's Luke? And so I really dug into Luke. And you know, for a lot of my life, I thought Luke was one of the 12. And I can't say I learned that this time. I learned that previously. But Luke has a unique perspective on the gospel. Luke was an intelligent guy. When I told Scott that I was talking from Luke today, he's like, oh, Dr. Luke. And I said, yep, Dr. Luke. Luke never really knew Jesus, but he made it his point to get the most accurate eyewitness descriptions of exactly who Jesus was and how he lived on this earth. And that was important to me, because what I really wanted to mention and talk about was, what did Jesus say about giving and about your heart? And so who better than Luke? Luke wasn't a Jew. He was just a regular Gentile person. But he was intelligent and he was analytical. And when you count the words, he actually wrote more of the New Testament than Paul did, which I thought was pretty interesting. One thing that is really neat about Luke is that even at the very, very end of Paul's life, Paul says, the only person here with me still is Luke. And I think it says a lot about who Luke was. So this morning we're going to be digging into Luke, what he wrote about Jesus, and we're going to be sticking between chapters like 8 and 20. Because that chunk is where most of Jesus' parables are. And there are a lot of parables in Luke only that you don't find in any of their gospels. And so I think it's because of Luke's perspective and what he wanted to talk about in Jesus. So the first thing we're going to get into is Luke 8, chapter 1. And I think a lot of people would skim right through this verse. And it's just an intro into Jesus' ministry. It says, Jesus traveled around from town to village, proclaiming the good news to the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women. Okay. These women had an experience with Jesus. It says who they were. They were cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, whom had demons driven out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, of the manager of Herod. Susanna, and many other. Here's the important part. These women were helping to support. They were helping to support Jesus by giving out of their own means. They had a really unique experience with Jesus. They were healed, felt compelled to give. And do you know who the first people to find the tomb missing were? These exact women. These exact women. You want to experience God? Give. Let's jump away from 8 and we're going to go into 10. This is where the Good Samaritan parable is documented. It's the only place. And so, a teacher of the law came to Jesus, and I think he's setting up a trap. In fact, the Bible says that. He was trying to trap Jesus. And he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus spins it back around and says, well, you're no idiot. What do you think it says? And he says, well, you know, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and love your neighbors as yourself. And Jesus is like, yeah, you're right. And this guy's like, well, then who are my neighbors? Uh-huh. And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And I think there's a lot that we can glean out of that story? Who are in need? Who should we give to? Our neighbors are people that we see that are in need. And the Samaritan, when Jesus told this story, was the least likely person to give and did. So I think Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter your role in the church, it doesn't matter your annual salary, it doesn't matter. What's important is that you give to those in need. So in chapter 8, right, we learned that we should give to the ministry. Right here in 10, we should give it to those in need. I want to hop down a little bit. We're going through Luke chronologically. So Luke 11, God gives us good gifts. Amen. God gives us good gifts. Amen. Amen. Okay. And so in 11:11, it says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, you'd give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good, if you know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Like, what an amazing gift. I heard, this isn't in my notes, the Greek word, I feel like my Uncle Jack here, the Greek word for Holy Spirit, parakletos, right? Parakletos. And I'm an off-road guy. Like, I work with Jeeps and trucks and four-wheel drive stuff. And so this definition meant a lot to me. Para, right? Para, paramedic, right? We understand para, those who help. Kletos. I'm like, I don't get the kletos. Like, where is that? Oh, a cleat. Like a tractor tire. Like, off-road tires have cleats for what? Traction. Get you moving. The helper who gets you moving. What a perfect gift that God's given us, the Holy Spirit. And so we should do likewise. A little bit further down in Luke 11, and I've got like four pages of Luke, so at 12 o'clock I'm just going to stop. So we'll just keep going until we run out of time. Luke 11, a little note here is that generosity is from the inside. Luke 11. And so what happened was a Pharisee or an educated person about religion invited Jesus over out to lunch with them. And Jesus didn't do the ceremonial washing of the hands. And the Pharisee was like, wow. Like, why? You know? So let me read this here. Because Jesus kind of put him in his place. It says, now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and your dish. Like, you wash your hands like you should. But inside, you're full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside of the cup make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor. And everything will be clean. In the message, it says, so clean the inside by giving gifts to the poor, and you'll be clean all over. Here in 42, which is part of that, woe to you Pharisees. Like, woe. Like, not woe, but woe. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth. They measure every single little bit of their income and they calculate to the smallest penny, a tenth. And they give it. But you neglect justice and love. Saying, Jesus is saying here, it doesn't really matter if you give 10%. Like, you got to give love and justice first. Right? We already know that we're to give and support. But like, if it's not out of love, like Mark just said, forget it. in that previous verse, it talked about greed. And greed is definitely something God does not want us living in. Luke 12:15, guard yourself against greed. Life isn't measured by what you own. Like, life isn't a race to see who dies with the most prizes at the end. Right? And so, we're to be rich towards God. Here's another wonderful parable in Luke. And I'm going to, like, this will be my paraphrase for modern times. Okay? Jesus told this parable. The business of a certain rich man did extremely well. He taught himself, he thought to himself, what should I do? My garages are all full. My house is everything I need. I know what. I'm going to build a bigger garage. I'm going to put a Lamborghini in it and a Ferrari in it and a Maserati in it. And I'm going to build myself a new pool and a new house and a basketball court and a tennis court too. I mean, like, what else? What else would I need? My 401k is going to be awesome. I'm going to have an IRA to live out all of my years. Right? But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded of you. Then, who's going to get what you prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. I don't want to be in that place. It doesn't say that we can't be rich. It doesn't say that we can't be prosperous. We've got to be rich towards God. Right? And it's a perfect transition to the next verse. To seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you. It follows exactly the next in line, Luke 12:22. And Jesus said to his disciples, don't worry about your life. Jeesh. I find myself there all the time. You know, my car's got almost 300,000 miles, and I think about all the time, what are we going to buy next? What's the next car? Well, you know, what are we going to do? My wife just stopped working at the end of the year. There's things that it's just, there's financial stress and burden always. And right here, Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be given unto you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the Ravens. They're a horrible football team. I'm just kidding. I don't know anything about football. I'm just kidding. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very thing, why worry about the rest? And it continues to grow, continues to go on. Consider about how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin. But even Solomon in all of his glory wasn't dressed as beautiful as they. God will provide for us all that we need if we seek his kingdom first. And that is really tough to do. It's counterintuitive. The less I worry about myself and the more I think about him, the more he provides all of my needs. Right? And out of that abundance, we give. Right? We support what he wants. We want to be in tune with his will. You know, I was thinking about Abraham, and although Abraham's not mentioned in Luke, you know, God was talking to Abraham about what he should do with Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, God is ready to just, like, wreak havoc and wipe out these two cities. But yeah, he talked to Abraham. Like, and Abraham swayed the heart of God. For a little. Right? I mean, what a place to be. All right, let's keep going through Luke. We've got a few more minutes. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, again, the pastors, they're not, I don't want to say pastors because I think that's more of an endearing term, but the religious senior people of the time heard this and were sneering at Jesus. Jesus said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your heart. What people value is detestable in God's sight." Like, I want to be living in God's sight. I want to be doing what God wants me to be doing. We've got another spot here in Luke. I'm going to cut one of these out here. Not this one. Tax collector versus Pharisee. Okay? Social status, right? Pharisee, religious and pompous. Tax collector, rich, but kind of hated by everybody. And they were praying. And Jesus pointed out, this is what the Pharisee prayed. Actually, this is a parable. Jesus told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, the robbers, the evildoers, the adulterers, or even the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me." And so what did Jesus ask there? I tell you that this man, the tax collector, he went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. It wasn't the 10%. It's not the fasting that the Pharisee did. It's the heart. Giving and generosity come out of your heart. In Luke 18, a Pharisee asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know the Ten Commandments. You don't commit adultery, you don't murder, you don't steal, you don't give false testimony, you honor your father and mother." And he said, "I've done all these things, I've done them." And Jesus, when he heard this, he said, "You're still lacking one thing. Sell it all. Sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And when you do that, come follow me. Come follow me." And when he heard this, he became sad because he was very wealthy. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, and it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." And the people that heard it were like, "Oh, man. Then who can be saved?" Like, every one of us sees us in that guy a little bit, right? Like, every one of us says, "Me, even me? I mean, that guy's a rich guy. I mean, he, you know, yeah, he could sell it all. But me? I should sell it all and give it all to the poor?" But here's the beauty in it. Because it says, Jesus says, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Isn't the grace of God a wonderful thing? Right? Isn't the grace of God the thing, the sole thing that allows us to enter into his kingdom? Man, what a beautiful thing. The last thing I want to get into here, because that's heavy, right, is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. Anyway, Zacchaeus was the flip side of that. He did that. He gave it away. He said, yeah, anybody that cheated, absolutely. Yep, I'm going to give it all back. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 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 here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and anybody that I have cheated out of anything, I will pay them back four times. And Jesus said, salvation today has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. What happened to Zacchaeus? What didn't happen to the guy in the previous verse? It's a heart change, right? It's a heart change. Zacchaeus had the heart change. And it's what I want. I want the heart change. You know, all these things that we talked about, like we know we're supposed to give, we're not to worry. We know that God's going to provide all of our needs. So we got to trust in him, you know? The very last thing in my notes, page 4. It's 12:03, the widow's offering. How many know it? Right? Jesus looked up. He saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. And he also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave gifts out of their wealth, and she gave out of her poverty. She put in all that she had to live on. God knows our hearts. God's not going to value you more if you put 10 grand into the offering plate. It's your heart. So if the rest of the guys that were speaking this morning, you want to come up and join me, and we'll just stand up here together. And I think what we want to pray for is a change of heart, right? Giving and generosity and all that comes out of heart, the motivation of your heart, right? Let's close our eyes and let's pray. God, you are good and you are full of mercy. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Lord, we can't change ourselves and only you can change us. You can take our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh. And Lord, that's what we're asking for this morning, today. From here out, from now on, Lord, change our hearts. Help us do the things that you want us to do. Holy Spirit, help us hear your voice. Father, we want to be where you are. And we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy. Lord, I thank you for putting Luke on my heart. And I thank you that you put it on the hearts of the rest of the people here. Lord, I ask that these words that were spoken this morning by the four of us, Lord, that they echo in everybody's hearts and minds throughout the week. Lord, help us to seek you first. Father, we want to know you and we want to be after your heart. And we know and we are confident that when we're doing that, when we're in that place, we know that you're going to provide. You're going to provide everything that we need. Lord, I thank you for that direct channel of communication with you called prayer. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that he is in this place. I thank you that he is here to help us, the parakletos, the helper who gives us traction. We love you, Father. We thank you that we can be tools for your kingdom, to bring honor to your name. We love you so much, Father. And together, we all say, amen.